So this is what I sometimes call a nuts and bolts type of discourse. I love philosophical discourses, devotional discourses, doctrinal discourses giving us insight into the atonement work of God. But this one, I think, follows in the vein of Brother Matt's discussion this morning. You look at the wisdom of God, and you say, can that be so? And so you probe deeper and you probe deeper in a subject, and you see it just keeps getting better and better and better. You know, if you take a fake silk flower and you look at it, it looks very beautiful. Hard to tell the difference sometimes between a silk flower and a real flower. And then you start magnifying it, and pretty soon the silk flower looks ragged and ugly, and you can see all the weaving and the little globs of glue and all that. But when you take a flower that Jehovah God made and you start looking at it under a microscope, you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's beauty and structure that is unimaginable. And that's what the Bible is to me. How long was it before Brother Obi starts his discourse? Well, he had a few announcements to make. Brought you love from the Los Angeles Bible students, bring you love from the Dawn family. They work together sometimes in person down in Longwood, Florida now, and others work remotely around the world to work together to publish the gospel of the kingdom. And we enjoy that privilege. Okay. The question arose in a study years ago in our ecclesia as to how long it was that Israel was in Egypt. And as we probed that subject, the scripture that immediately comes to mind is Exodus 12. And so we ask of Exodus 12, how many years did the people of Israel, live in Egypt prior to the Exodus? And then of those years, how many years were marred by enslavement? And so we find the answer to that, we think, initially in Exodus 12, verses 40 and 41. And you can see that I underlined the word seemingly, which is an alert for further deeper information. Seemingly, it answers this question, the first question. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel when they sojourned in Egypt was 430 years, period. Case closed, but not quite. It came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. But there are difficulties with the rendering of this text. The Apostle Paul reveals the time frame, the time setting of the 430 years. He does that for us in the book of Galatians. And he's talking about the covenants. And he says, to give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it's been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. The covenant made by God is not disannulled by the law covenant given at Sinai 430 years later. So Galatians 3:15 is clearly teaching that from the time of the Abrahamic covenant to the inauguration of the law covenant at Mount Sinai was 430 years. So let's start to pick apart the components of that 430 years. And the first building block is really pretty simple. The covenant was made with Abraham when he was 75 years old. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And the covenant was made at that point. The next step in the scriptural chronology is the 25 years that passed between the making of the covenant until the birth of Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. We read in the scriptures that his flesh was weak, but the Lord miraculously gave him strength when he was beyond childbearing age, and Sarah as well, to be able to have a son, Isaac. So, 25 years have passed. Sarah conceived, bore Abram a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So that's easy. 25 years had passed. So I was never like really, really, really strong in mathematics in school. I was more of a arts and crafts kind of guy. But this is simple. 430 years minus 25 leaves a remainder of 405 years. So we have 405 years of the 430 left to reckon with. And regarding that period, we read in Genesis 15, then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Let's probe that a bit further. So we have our 405 years. 30 years had gone by since the covenant was made with Abraham. This has been proposed by many students of the Bible or Bible students to be the age of 5 at which Isaac was weaned and his affliction at the hand of Ishmael began. And we understand in the Middle East it was very common for a child to be weaned much later than we tend to wean them in our modern world. Paul identifies the situation with Isaac. He said, you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Back to the 430 years. We have 405 years left. So the next significant time period from the birth of Isaac is the birth of Jacob and Esau when Isaac was 60 years old. Simple math, I don't have to get out my calculator, but I did just to double check. 405 minus 60 is 345. So of this 430 years from the time of the Abrahamic covenant to the making of the law at Sinai, we have 345 years remaining. So it already looks like they could not have been in the land of Egypt for 430 years, doesn't it? It's not going to fit. The next piece of the puzzle is in Genesis 47, 7 through 9. Joseph calls for his father and his brethren to come and live with him in the land of Egypt, and he's going to have an interview with Pharaoh. He wants Pharaoh to meet his father Jacob. Then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the years of my life, and they have not attained to the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning. Wow, what a heavy thing to get off your chest, right? You're meeting the Pharaoh, the leader of the country, and your son is his prime minister, and he comes in and, oh, how old are you? You know, making polite conversation. I'm 130 and my life's been miserable. Okay. But that's the piece of the puzzle we need. We need to know that Jacob at this point is 130 years old. So if we take the 345 years that we have left and subtract Jacob's age, 130 from them, that leaves 215 years until the day when Israel leaves Egypt. How interesting that when Jacob meets Pharaoh, we're halfway through, exactly halfway through the 430 years. So what comes next? I talked about looking at the Bible under a spiritual microscope, a magnifying glass, and we're about to do that. It's kind of a side point, but I think it helps to illustrate the precision of divine timekeeping. And here we go. Our major patriarchs in Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And we can casually read how old they were when they finished their course in this world. Okay, so Abraham lived to be 175. Isaac lived to be 180. Jacob lived to be 147. Joseph, 110. But there's something around the back of that that we have to look at. And I found it fascinating. There's a book published by the Jewish Publication Society from Nahum Sarna, a well-recognized Jew who is a student of the Jewish scriptures. I did not think this up myself. Assuredly, had it been up to me, it never would have surfaced. So their ages, let's look at this. There are mathematical properties to their ages. And it's a repeating pattern, or a pattern that follows a progression. If we take Abraham's age of 175, we find that if we take the number 5, and square it, and then multiply it by 7. So, well, we'll do that, okay. 5 squared is 25, times 7 is 175. And the pattern continues. Now we go up a number, 6 squared times 5. So that's 36 times 5, Isaac's age, 180. Jacob, we go up another degree, 7 squared, but down proportionally to 3. 7 squared times 3, that is 49 times 3, equals 147. And then when we reach Joseph, who's kind of like the pinnacle, is the type of Christ, we don't have this pattern any longer because we've been brought to the reality, Joseph. But still the mathematics behind it follows through. Joseph's age is 5 squared plus 6 squared plus 7 squared. That is 25 plus 36 plus 49, 110. And the fact that this mathematical pattern fits in the ages of these patriarchs, and the patriarchs ages correspond with the birth of their children, it matches our chronology perfectly. It locks it in. So much as Brother Matt saw in those patterns in the book of Daniel, here, even in the book of Genesis, we have this marvelous pattern. And then I wrote a note down here. It's not inspired, but I'm inspired by it. Our Heavenly Father is incalculably wise. His mathematics, extremely precise. He knows when his kingdom will be set up in power and glory, and examples like the numbers above strengthen our faith. He's not forgotten his purpose for mankind's salvation. It just seems long to us. So, continuing, we're at the halfway point of the 430 years. We're at 215 years. So now we have more detail that are given in the scriptures that we can start putting things together still. Joseph was 30 years old when he came to power, and that's very clearly stated in Genesis 41, verse 46. And in his conversation that got him the promotion up to prime minister of Egypt, he had this conversation to Pharaoh interpreting his dream. He said, seven fat cows, you're going to have seven plentiful years. And then the seven skinny cows that eat the fat cows, there's going to be 7 years of famine. Okay, so that's a total of 14. And we can do a little bit of math because the Lord subdivided it for us. So let's just take that first number. He's 30 years old plus 7 years of plenty. 7 years of famine will come. And we read of that in Genesis 45. After the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine ensued, and Jacob and his family moved to Egypt in the second year of the famine. So we read, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me, he's talking to his brothers, before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. I want to pause. The evil that his brothers did to him, the evils that his brothers perpetrated on Father Jacob, leading him to think that his son had been eaten alive, letting that go on for so many years. And then in this moment, this climactic moment, he doesn't accuse them and say, how could you possibly do that to me? How could you possibly, my brothers, have sold me into slavery? Joseph looked at the positive side of it and said, it wasn't you who sent me here. It was God. He sent me here to protect you and the people of Israel. Going back to earlier today, though he slay me, yet while I trust him, right? Okay, continuing on. Right here. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come. All right, after reading all that, what do we know? Joseph is 30 years old when he ascends to great power in Egypt. 7 years pass, years of plenty in which they stored up food. So now he's 37. The famine hits. In the second year of the famine, his brethren say, well, we need to go down to Egypt. So Joseph at this point is 39 years old. And isn't it wonderful that the scriptures provide us this level of detail? Yes, I fact-checked it with a calculator. 215 years of the 430 years had passed when Joseph is 39 years old. From that point on, the people of Israel lived in Egypt for another 215 years until the Exodus. However, that doesn't mean that they suffered enslavement for 215 years. That period gets whittled down a bit as well. Let's examine the evidence. Joseph lived to be 110. He was 39 when his brothers moved to Egypt to be with him. So 110 minus 39 is 71. And if we subtract those 71 remaining years of Joseph's Joseph's life, from that 215, we have a remainder of 144. Therefore, of the prophesied 430 years, only 144 years remain from Joseph's death until the covenant at Mount Sinai. We don't have another connection, another positive connection. We do have an inferred connection. We don't have a connection through another patriarch's age or a time period prophesied that takes us from Joseph's death to Sinai. But the Lord provided a way to connect, and that is by back extrapolating. Using the age of Moses at the time of the Exodus is the key. And we are definitely given Moses' age as 80 years old. Exodus chapter 7, verse 5. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. So we had 144 years of time remaining from the death of Joseph. And we know that Moses was 80 years old when he led them out of Egypt. So we're going to back up in that 144 years by 80 years to the birth of Moses. And now we have a time window of 64 years. 64 years. From the death of Joseph to the birth of Moses was only 64 years. And the people of Israel were not yet enslaved. That would happen shortly, I think. But I think this adds much greater force to the declaration of Scripture that there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. A new king, not a whole series of pharaohs who gradually enslaved Israel. This is a new thought. This is a new administration coming in and setting new policy. And they didn't know Joseph. Who is Joseph to me? And we'll see that that's actually embedded in the Hebrew language. That Pharaoh said, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. And therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramesses. It was during this 64-year period that all the good that Joseph had done for Egypt was disregarded, and the people of Israel were enslaved. But I think we can whittle it down a little closer in that 64 years. We'll see that in just a moment. Perhaps at the death of Joseph, you know, he was the real ruler of the country. It seems that the Pharaoh was just a youngster when he came to power. Joseph tells his brethren that God has made him a father to Pharaoh. So Joseph at the age of 30 is like a father figure to Pharaoh. Joseph dies, and oh my goodness, what do I do now? I don't know how to Pharaoh. Joseph Pharaohed for me all my life. So there was probably a power vacuum in Egypt, which led to the ascent of an evil Pharaoh which knew not Joseph. And that word knew not is from the Hebrew yada, and I heard someone this morning from the platform use the phrase yada, 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 right? And it just means that. Yeah, I know, I know, I know. Joseph, don't tell me any more about Joseph. I know, I know, I know. Yada, 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 Joseph. Well, that verb means to know or to acknowledge or to approve. Pharaoh saying yada, yada, yada just indicates that in his haughty pride, he cast off all the good of the administration of Joseph. There's another challenge to the thought that Israel had dwelt in Egypt for 430 years. And it's provided in the genealogy given us of the family of Moses. That's traced for us in Exodus 6, 16 through 20. And we get Moses' genealogy through his mother, Jochebed, and his father, Amram. The Edgar brothers, in their book, Great Pyramid Passages, put together a terrific chart that I thought was a great visual aid, made it very simple to see what's going on here. And I want to share that with you now. And there's the chart. And they reference the revised version of Exodus 12:40 right up there. That's the one that said the sojourning of the people of Israel in the land of Egypt was 430 years. And on the very day that they left, that was the end of the 430 years. So what do I want to see here? There we go. Okay. Our 430-year period, we're going to break it up just a bit. So look at his genealogy of his mother, and that's going on this timeline here. This timeline here. They propose that Levi, Moses' grandfather, would have lived in the land of Egypt for 97 years. Levi lived for 137 years. He was a little bit older than Joseph, perhaps 4 or 5 years older than Joseph. And if we subtract his age from 137 years, if he was 40 years old, then he would have been 90. I'm sorry. He would have been in the land 97 years. 97 years. Okay. And then Moses was 80 years old when they left Egypt. So here's the shocking point. You see that this arc is a dotted line because it indicates it could not be. It was a miracle that Sarah had Isaac at her late age. If they were in the land for 430 years, if Levi, at the end of his life, had fathered Jochebed, the poor woman would have been at least 253 years old when she gave birth to Moses. It's not going to happen, right? Going further. Look at his father's genealogy. Kohath, Moses' grandfather, here, died at the age of 133. If he died and fathered Amram in the last days of his life, and then Amram lived 137 years, and in the last day of his life, oops, it doesn't work. We have an 80-year time gap between the time that Amram died at the age of 137. We have a gap of 80 years. And there's no way that I've ever heard of that a man who's been dead for 80 years fathered a child. So again, we have the dotted line here showing that this is an impossibility. So in his maternal genealogy, his mother would have had to have been 253 years of age, and there would have had to have been a gap of 80 years between the time his father died and Moses was born. So it can't have been 430 years in the land. How long was it? Well, if we take the age of, or the years that Levi lived in the land and add to them Moses' lifespan, that's 174 years. Nope, that's not what I wanted to read. There we go. Nope, that's not what I wanted to read. I just talked about that. Okay. All right, here we are. Sorry. The interesting consequence of all this relates to Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And so this is the clue that further shrinks down that period of time in which Israel could have been enslaved. It reads, "Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." Well, Levi outlived Joseph by about 21 years. So we can take our 64-year period that we previously described and subtract another 21 years from it and conclude that the time period in which this Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph was about 43 years. So the children of Israel were not enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. They did not live in the land of Egypt for 430 years. They lived in the land of Egypt for 215 years. We've seen the scriptural evidence of that. And they were not enslaved for 215 years. There's a time window in which this Pharaoh arose of about 43 years. Assuming that Levi was the last of the sons of Jacob to die, he may not have been. The enslavement of Israel was of a much shorter duration than we previously thought. So from the death of Levi to the covenant at Mount Sinai was 123 years. 43 years plus Moses' age of 80. Further confirmation. The Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." The fourth generation is the key. Who are these generations? Well, they're given to us in Exodus chapter 6. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations: Gershon, Kohath, Merari. The sons of Gershon, Libni, Shimei by their clans. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uziel. The years of the life of Kohath being 133. The sons of Merari, Mahali, Mali, and Moshi. These are the clans of the Levites according to their generations. Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister. She bore him Aaron and Moses, the years of the life of Amram being 137 years. Four generations. The four generations are right there. Levi, Kohath, Amram, Moses. So four generations of sojourning. These people sojourned in the loins of their father, much as Abraham paid tithes to the Lord to Melchizedek when he was yet in his father's loins. Or Levi, I'm sorry, paid tithes when he was yet in Abraham's loins. So four generations. But when they left Egypt, they left with about 2.2 million people. Estimates of this are based on 600,000 men on foot. And we read in Exodus 1:5 that all the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons and Joseph was already in Egypt. Exodus 12:37, the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Was 215 years enough time to grow from 70 to 2.2 million? You know I'm going to say yes, right? We must remember that Jehovah blessed Israel exceedingly in the fruit of their bodies. Their growth as a people were miraculous, and the scriptures hint at that. This new king that rose up over Egypt said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and they're very shrewd, and let us deal shrewdly with them." And then he ordered the people of Israel to kill. No, I'm getting ahead of myself because I see my chairman coming up. Thank you, brother, for being punctual. They were made to work ruthlessly as slaves. The Egyptians were ordered to kill the male children. And the king of Egypt called the midwives to him, and they said, "Well, why have you let this happen? All these male children are living." And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. This is celebrated in Psalm 105. "Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes." Let's go back and look at Exodus chapter 12. That's kind of where the confusion started, and it's where the confusion is resolved. But as we do that, we don't want to look at the Masoretic Hebrew text, which is the basis of our King James Version and other modern versions. We want to go back to the Septuagint, and even older than the Septuagint, the Samaritan Pentateuch. The Samaritan Pentateuch in all its manuscripts and printed copies reads thus, and I'm not going to attempt to read that second line. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel and of their fathers, which they sojourned in the land of Canaan and in the land of Egypt, was 430 years. So they were sojourning from the time of Abraham till the time of the Exodus. Stephen tells us that the Lord didn't give Abraham so much as a foot of land to call his own at that time. He was a sojourner, a stranger in a strange land. Looking at the Septuagint, which would have been based on texts available to the Hebrews in the Babylonian captivity, it came to pass... The sojourning of the children of Israel while they sojourned in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan was 430 years. It came to pass after the 430 years, all the forces of the Lord came forth out of the land of Egypt by night. And so it was. So how long is it? How long was it? We see that it was a relatively short period of time in which Israel was oppressed. We see that their slavery and persecution probably occurred during a period of about 43 years after the death of Levi and continued on through Moses' deliverance at the age of 80. What's the point of all this? Again, we echo the point Brother Matt made. God is absolutely in command. Absolutely. His wisdom is beyond our understanding. And we are so...